Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. Of course, you know that because you're listening to me. But thank you for joining us. Today is March 31st, 2017, 8 o'clock in the morning here on the West Coast. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Thank you for joining us. This is the one show where you can hear activists, paid activists and citizen activists sharing their information and doing what they can to help turn the ship around and save our planet. Today we have back with us a citizen scientist who's done a lot of work that hasn't really been out in the public, but he's done a lot of work and understands a lot of what happened to us on 3/11, the day that Fukushima nuclear power plants really had a major catastrophe that's changed the world. Matt Hulstrunk from Corvallis is here with us. I met him through a meeting with No Nukes Northwest, and he has been gracious enough to join us several times on our show, so I want to thank him very much for returning with us. Thank you, Matt, for joining us again.
Oh, you're welcome, Lonnie. Good to be here.
So, Matt, I know that you're the man who's been tracking the EPA sightings and readings here on the West Coast. Is there anything of significance we've been hearing? I've been hearing major things about up and down radiation around the world. Have we seen significant changes since 9/11, I guess? You know, the world changed after that, but...
Yeah. Well, you know, the EPA basically, you know, they try to run these, all the RadNet sites around the country, you know, and try to collect all this data for various people to look at, and they have it compartmentalized a little bit, so they have stuff that, of course, we as the general public can see, and then they have stuff at a higher level that we can't see, and it looks like it's basically all on the same database, but then they hide certain hours, and they don't let us see what those readings are. So it's pretty easy to get on the RadNet site and look at it and see where those blackouts are of data. And, you know, basically not all of them are high readings. You know, sometimes they have stuff going on like calibration of instruments and, you know, replacing parts. But I think for the most part, those blackouts are a telltale of some higher readings. And they also... Go ahead.
Well, I have a question to ask you about all of that, because the fact that I'm even asking you this question and even understanding, have this even in my consciousness, is an indication of the shift of change in our planet right now. Like that we as average citizens actually have to pay attention to something that's pretty technically science, high scientific, technically speaking. But what I really, the question that brings to mind is the fact that this all stems back from Fukushima, from 3/11/11, from 6 years ago, the ongoing ignored catastrophe. We've never seen anything like this, and the levels that we were exposed to were catastrophic on their own, correct? That year. That was like
Yeah,
the
they
big
were.
kablooey, right?
Yeah, it was interesting, like when that first happened, they said, okay, yeah, we're detecting some radiation. And then, very shortly after that, they tested some milk and found a little bit of iodine in it. And then a month later, they said, oh, well, the radiation levels have dropped off, and we don't see that, so we're gonna discontinue all that. Unfortunately, the way these things operate is that you have this initial high atmosphere plume that came in through the jet stream, and it only took a few days to get here from Fukushima. And that was the first little ding-a-ling-ling, something's wrong, that was the first detection in the U.S., and it was detected all the way across our country, from coast to coast. The only place it really didn't hit as hard was southeastern USA, down in Florida, down in that area, the panhandle of Florida down there. They didn't get hit as hard, but pretty much the northern part of our country got nailed really hard. Well, that little plume ended, and there was a brief period where everything sort of settled out, and they decided, well, nothing else is coming through. We're going to stop measuring milk. We're going to stop all this stuff. It's gone, And Obama came out and said, it's everything. There's no immediate threat, Well, the threat happened. They just didn't tell us when it did, and it hit in early June from my graphs, and lasted a good solid month with three different events I can see on my graph. A short one, a brief pause, a very brief pause, another short one, and then immediately behind that was a large one. And that was a solid month of basically no data on the Corvallis, Oregon graph.
So
Then
you mean like all in July of 2011?
all in May.
Of 2011.
In 2011, yeah. May and partial June. So it's almost like mid-May to mid-June, actually, from the graph here. A solid 30 days of values so high they don't want anybody to see it. They don't want you to know about it. Then there was a break after that, and the radiations continued to climb very slowly for about 3 months until September.
What were
About
the rat?
September.
What were they like? What levels were they at during those periods of time?
Well, it's hard to really. I mean, I can tell you what they had on RadNet. So they increased from prior to 3/11, they were probably 1600 CPM of gamma 2. So they went from 1600 to 1800, 1900. And
That
then so
doesn't.
that was that so so that doesn't seem like a lot, right? I mean, it doesn't seem like it very much. And I've looked at a lot of these graphs, and a lot of them don't make any sense at all. A lot of them come a lot of them the graphs are actually showing less and less radiation as time goes on, which is crazy.
Well, that's because they're only
So they
testing for certain types, don't you think?
well no it's that that's not the case. No, this is it's a little bit
They're
more
just,
than
do you
that.
think they're intentionally just not telling us and making everything look super screwy so we can't make high head or tail of it?
Yeah, they want to confuse. It's all about confusion. Yeah. So
Sorry to
you have to
laugh
try to
at, but that's, you're like, yep, pretty much, you got it.
That's the only thing I can come up with after looking at a lot of graphs. I mean, I've looked at a lot of these cities across the country, you know, in 2011, and there are a few things that
do you think they know intentionally know, though? Do you think that they are intentionally, like, they go, the people that go to work at the EPA that actually run these machines and spit out the reports, do you think they really know that the information they're submitting to the public is misleading? In, you know, I mean, that's quite a few people in a system knowing that they're lying.
I would say that the vast majority of them have no idea. The vast majority of them, and I think this knowledge has been constrained to the top few people. The extreme top absolutely knows what's going on, and then they have a few people underneath them that are managing these graphs across the country. You know, because one person obviously can't do it. You know, when this was happening, it was happening so fast they were scrambling to try to get everything lined up, and you could tell they were just scrambling so hard, they were just messing it up, and some of the graphs just really not looking good. I mean, not looking good to the point where they don't look real, you know, where stuff was stomped on. They took the dial and they turned the dial way down to see what would happen. And it looks foolish, where the values go from, you know, can drop 1,000 CPM from a really
nice.
Wait a minute.
I need you to go back to what you just said. They repeat that about what they did to the equipment. You think that
They have controls on this whole system. I mean, so they have all these monitors and it's feeding data in and it's coming into a central place. And so then they have automatic things that happen to the data, and they have parameters set on values, high and low values. And if the radiation comes in and they're outside of those parameters, then it won't show it for a while, and they will take a look at it, and they'll have a guy come in, one of their specialists will come in and look at the data and go, do I really want to show this to people or not? And so they make that decision. And if they don't want it to show it to the public,
how could they, who do you know who gives them the right? Have you ever discovered that? Who gives them the right to not tell the public about the level of health threat that they're under?
Department of Energy, NSA, all of the really high. If it's a national security, if they can use the national security.
It's quite the opposite. It's a national security threat.
Well, it depends on what side of the equation you are. You know, if you're pro-nuclear, then anything that comes in high radiation is going to be looked at as a threat.
But the question about being, quote, pro-nuclear excludes. Look, I'm pro-nuclear, but I'm actually pro-life before. I mean, if they could give us nuclear and not have catastrophic waste that kills everything for thousands and millions of years, yeah. But uranium needs to be left buried under the ground, period. We've been told by the ancients all around the planet, leave this stuff under the ground. There's many, many ancient stories. Humanity has survived a long time without uranium. So this is where I go with people that say, oh, I'm pro-nuclear, so we can't just give you that because we don't want to alarm you. No, people, the reason that people would be alarmed is because it's a harm to your health. It's like the same Trump mentality. Well, he didn't do anything. He hasn't done anything wrong. Name one thing he's done. He brought jobs back to America. That whole thing about him co-opting the last bit of the jobs that Obama brought onto our shores, which was millions of jobs, by the way, and he was the deporter in chief for this build the wall bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, the whole thing is just straight up Nazism. This gets back into the nuclear thing. Who gives them the right to not tell us, Matt?
Yeah, well, you know, they've decided at a very high level that nuclear is very important to
what?
Somebody. It's basically a control of power right now that they're trying
you
to
think?
Hang on to, and it's really an outdated.
That's
mode.
Why they murder anybody. That's how they squash every single protest. What they do with Occupy Wall Street? Obama came in immediately. He's so pro-nuclear. He came in, boom, boom, boom. You know,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Honestly, he was no angel. Obama is
no,
no angel. You know,
no,
he
no,
wasn't
he wasn't.
Like. He might have started out a really sweet guy, amiable, but he is devious. He's a Hillary Clinton, you know what I mean? Like, and frankly, a Donald Trump. Trump is exactly the only problem with Trump is that he gets temperamental and he does stuff that he lies to people straight to their face and bankrupts everybody he touches. And I'd say including his daughter. Anyways,
yeah.
Sorry, Matt, to go off of the topic here.
That's all right. That's right. So I was trying to I was describing the graph. Let me describe it a little bit more.
Please
so,
do.
So we had that first really big after those high gases came in through the jet stream and told us there was an issue with the iodine and some cesium showing up. Then we had that major plume that hit. And that basically off-scaled every metric that they had. Beta, gamma, everything was off-scale for the solid month. Then after that, so that was three events. You know, it was number one, number three, probably two is one. Let's see, two had an event, three exploded, and four had an event. So they were all mixed in that one batch.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff happened at the end so fast.
And then number four was so badly damaged, you know, it was emitting high levels of radiation.
Oh, yeah. And that, you know, and that it all mixed together. I only have three.
I think number four is kind of more dangerous than all of them, frankly. Right now, that's the most unstable.
Yeah.
Because it's not stable, it's listing. They can't stop it from tilting over. It's collapsing in front of them. And it has, it was overstuffed with MOX fuel, from my understanding.
Yeah, it was.
Yep. I mean, massively overstuffed. And it is listing. They can't stop it. They built those little buildings around there hoping that will keep it from collapsing, but I don't think it will. I think it's just a matter of time. What will happen? What should we do, Matt? We're on the West Coast. You understand the plumes and things. How much time do we have between, like, let's say number four goes out, or let's say Mount Fuji blows up and causes an earthquake on Fukushima and they become unstable. And they're not telling us, Jack, but we know something's going on. How much time do we have, and what do you recommend that we do? Protect ourselves. Do you know?
Well,
the big thing is, how much time do we have?
Well, I mean, if something happened, something big, I would say we have about 2 months here to get our act together and either get out of Dodge or get ready for it. But we need to
know.
Yeah,
but don't
that
you think it'll
happened.
Get here within? I mean, the jet stream comes here within what, 48 to 72 hours, right?
Yeah, but that's only going to pick up some of the gasish radioactive products. It's not going to pick up the heavier stuff that, well, they both do a lot of damage, but.
Yeah,
but the plume,
that's the point.
The ground
it's
plume.
Like, see, this is where these liars, the nuclear liars, and even the people who say they're anti-nuclear, they get into this doublespeak. Well, it's not as bad. Well, yes. Every bit of radiation that comes out of a nuclear power plant that happens is damaging to life.
Yeah.
And we're going to get hit with the plume. We're going to get hit with a plume within, I think, 48 hours. It won't show up, will it? That's what you're saying. It's not going to really show up hard on the scales until 2 or 3 weeks?
Well, there are different types. There are different types of plumes that come in, right? So that first gas one is one that comes in high, and then whiffs of it get thrown down on us, and we detect it. So it's not a continuous thing. It's more like a warning. You know, the bell's ringing as the stuff comes down, and it's spiking off graph. And then it goes away, and then but still there's stuff happening over there. Stuff is happening, and the major ground plume then that does not go high, it stays low, starts drifting across the ocean. And that's the one we have to worry about. And then that'll come in very slowly and get in the area and last, you know, a good month or so sometimes in the area. I mean, like, that's what happened back in 11. And then after that hit us here, we had a lapse, pretty much, like I was saying, of about 3 months, where the radiation levels climbed a little bit, and then in September we got hit by just a rapid fire machine gun of spikes. We had at least 11 of them or more. 11 off-scale separate spikes. Bam, a pause, bam, a pause, bam, a pause, bam, pause, bam, a pause, bam, a pause. I mean, just bang, 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 just like a machine gun. And that lasted that lasted 3 months. That lasted from September to basically December. And those were all off-scale. Those were all stuff lasting in duration of a week or a little longer, each one of those. And the only thing I can come up with there on that is that was some of the fuel pools over there were starting to burn. And they wouldn't, you know, they would burn on and off, on and off, on and off, on and off. And I'm thinking maybe they were even allowed to burn. Maybe they knew that, you know, let's burn these at the end of the season, you know, where we'll have the wintertime rains to wash it all out, so it won't really affect the plants, you know, the plant growing season in the spring. You know, if they had waited longer and all that stuff burnt in the spring, well, wow, we would have had a real crazy look in springtime with all the with everything just loaded up. So you're thinking that during the
winter months they might have just like allowed it to explode and do what it was going to do inevitably and then try to contain it afterwards.
Yeah, well, it wasn't exploding then, it was burning. That was the burning of the fuel that I'm thinking of seeing here.
Didn't it just have fires for months, though? Wasn't that part of the deal? Didn't they just have fires that spontaneously happened for months and months and months?
Those are the fuel pools going up. Yep. So when you lose cooling there, those things start heating up, heating up, heating up, then they start boiling off, and they're just stuffed filled with spent fuel that has latent heat that just constantly is producing heat, and you constantly have to cool it. And if you stop cooling it, it's going to get hot enough and start boiling, and when it boils, it produces hydrogen from the zirconium rods, and you got to be careful there's not an explosion there. But the worst thing is that it'll boil the water down, and then the rods will be exposed, and they'll heat up even more. As soon as they get exposed, they really start heating up, and they'll get to a point where they'll just burn. They'll just spontaneously erupt in flames and start burning like a little... like a little 4th of July sparkler is what they'll look like. And they'll burn for a while until they get back down to that water level that they were exposed to. And when it hits the water level, they may go out for a little while. And then the water level, of course, will drop more and more and more as more is boiled off. And they'll light up again, go off again. So I think this is what we're seeing, this lighting up and extinguishing and lighting up of the different whichever pools burnt over there. I'm sure some of them have. I mean, I've seen photographs of some of those pools, and they are ugly. I mean, there's just no way that those things, I mean, There's no way those things are sitting there in pristine condition. They are dark. They are loaded with debris. They have major structural members down in the pools. You know, and as soon as you do that, you're crushing these assemblies and pushing them together. And you start doing that, and you know, man, you're losing your cooling. You know, whatever cooling you had, and since you don't have any circulation, you don't have very much cooling. And when you stick these things close together, you get even less. And this stuff is gonna, you know, if it wasn't a criticality accident, it's gonna start burning at some point. And they just didn't get their cooling together quick enough
That's what
for a lot of
Fukushima
those.
is, right? Is the it's a criticality event, really. It's always in a criticality stage. It has not passed that. It's in actually in a cat. They need a higher word than that. It's a catastrophic stage because they can't stop it. I mean, it really is. They think that they're going to get over this. Do you think that the officials that are running TEPCO honestly believe that it's safe for the people to live near? Do you think
They
there's
know it's not.
any way they could actually believe that? I mean, the
I doubt it.
shareholders, the sh I
Well,
mean,
it
how
you
could
know.
anybody own a single share in TEPCO, if you ask me? How could anybody own a single share of any energy company? Because they're
Well.
all lying to us and they're all killing our planet. They have had the profits to create solutions and preventions and to spend more money on their products so we don't have waste, we don't have leaks. They have the money. They're choosing just to amass the finances. That is, in fact, at the heart and the very core of the illogical thinking of the neoliberal agenda that's being imposed on America right now. You know, this whole idea of we can privatize everything and corporations will be responsible because then they'll have the money. They won't have to be paying the government all their taxes and they'll have the money to do things the right way. That's their thinking.
Well, they have the money right now. If they were to
That's right.
lower the budget of the military, you know, to a sane value, and then, you know, they would have money to do just about anything they wanted, you know, for the
Matt,
people at that
I
point.
guess that's the same question of who gave them the right to tell us when they're going to tell us that there's radioactive contamination in the air. What gives them the right to tell us, oh, we're not going to tell you. We're if it gets really too high, they even have the right to make it disappear. So, you know, the
They
solution to the neoliberal agenda, this is the whole Trump agenda, is get rid of the EPA. And people are responsible for keeping track of it themselves, which frankly we are. But can you
Yeah, we
imagine
can.
what's going to happen when there are no constraints? I mean, just give us a year. How many of the people that think that Trump has done a great job doing this is going to die of cancer because of this election? Because they choose to throw the wrecking ball at the American government.
Yeah, it's an interesting scenario going on right now as to, you know, what is driving this whole thing. You know, why is it being driven in such an extreme fashion so quickly, right? Because
It's
it was
called
never
the
done
Alex
that
Green.
before.
It's the Alan. We have done this before. We did it to Chile. The CIA, instead of creating a fake election, created a fake military overthrow, installed Pinochet, and they imposed the neoliberal agenda. So they're
Yeah,
doing it.
many,
This is
many countries
Nixon
do that.
2.0. It's not exactly the same story, similar agenda. This time, I mean, the Newt Gingrich is falling all over himself. This is exactly what he wanted when they went after Clinton. They were hoping that the whole Clinton scandal would allow them to impose this. And frankly, well, you know what's happened now? The Trump scandal is allowing them to impose it. Trump is not the person who's out there doing a lot of the harm right now. It was the Republicans who took away the right for a family to have prenatal care covered under their health care. If you're going to have a family, you're going to pay a lot more for insurance now. to have the pregnancy.
Yeah.
I mean, this is their agenda, the nuclear thing. I mean, the hard part is with both. I mean, I don't believe that Trump does. I can't imagine that he even knows about Rick Perry's history with the nuclear spill. I'll bet you he doesn't even have the slightest concept that Rick Perry had anything to do with the nuclear spill. It's all been twisted around to where that's why he did such a great job. He ended up on their board.
Yeah, you sort of wonder how much Trump really knows. You know, he's been a businessman all his life. And
no, yeah, he hasn't. He's been a spoiled brat all of his life, frankly.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he has not been a businessman. He's bankrupted 6 times. Is that? I mean, I guess if I started company after company and kept bankrupting them, and you know, cheating people out of what they said they could get and treating everybody like crap, I guess that's called being a businessman.
Or an elitist, one or the other.
I mean, for real. Matt, I don't think you heard the show. Last week I had my friend Ed Oz on, and we really literally discussed, both he and I believe he is either being duped by the CIA or he's a CIA plant. His Trump, when he got mysteriously, he was able to finance under some kind of mysterious deal a location that was formerly a cover-up for a CIA operation.
Yeah.
Mar-a-Lago,
well, there's a lot of those.
Similar,
there's a lot
dodgy
of those going
things.
On.
There's a lot. He is deeply involved. This whole thing about the Russians, the reason he's connected to the Russians, my guess would be have to do because Hillary Clinton introduced him. Because she's in with the Russians and she probably got him in. So this is all, I'm telling you, with the nuclear industry and this is why I can't help but talk about politics when I talk about the nuclear industry, because they're risking our lives. They're waging war on us with the nuclear industry.
Yeah.
The war is
yeah.
on the planet and on human beings. We literally are being used.
Yeah,
and
I'm hoping that they haven't come to the conclusion that the war is over, and now they're just trying to get every last little thing out of it before the whole thing goes belly up.
That is their agenda. Matt, that is their agenda. Look, I saw the astrophysicist. He's a black physicist. He said, look up thug physicist, thug astrophysicist. He's like, they've been teaming him that for quite a while. He got that under some, I forget the story he told, some story. Anyways, it stuck. He was giving a lecture. He was an astrophysicist to students in St. Louis, Missouri. I was watching it on C-SPAN. And he said to them, well, we all know that the humans are only going to survive if we leave planet Earth. He said that as a matter of course. And then went on to talk about the planets that are showing signs of water and got into his lecture about what they're seeing out there. That phrase blew me away. We all know we have to leave planet Earth. If humanity is going to survive, it's not going to be on this rock. They've given up. That's academic speaking. This is why some people, Kevin Blanche, Dana Dernford, they're angry at the whole academia thing. Because in one hand, we need academia, but in the other hand, like they have given up. And they are intimidated by the industrial military complex. They've sold out.
Yeah, they sell out because they're afraid of losing their jobs. You know.
Well, you don't get very far if you say, we should not be doing this nuclear stuff or all this chemical dumping on the planet. And I'm going to work instead of letting you pay me, you know, $150,000, $200,000 a year as a professor. I'll go be a nonprofit. I'll use my resources and educate people on how to stop these things. You know what I mean? Get paid $30,000 a year. That's the difference, $40,000 a year. You can make $150,000 or lose your... I mean, that is the system. But you know what? When people value money over life, that's what it looks like.
Yeah. It is. you know, when you trade your morals in for the dollar, that's a bad road to go down.
Well, we're going down it. That's the downside, is we're getting rolled along. You know what I mean? Like, actually,
yeah.
Okay. So, tell us what happened. What were the levels like? I got you all sidetracked, but I'm still thinking about this Fukushima thing. I got Fukushima on the brain. After that December spike, how high were they, and then what did they drop down to?
Well, that's the weird thing about these RadNet graphs, is that at least once a year you see that they do adjustments to the levels, right? There'll be a pause where they don't show any data, and then stuff will drop really fast, like 1,000 CPM or so, or 2,000 CPMs. So when you're looking from year to year, you got to look for those little drops. And when you start seeing them every year, you come to realizing that, you know, something's really being played on us here.
That's not real. So, they can't possibly drop around the same time.
Well, no, they mix them up. They don't drop them at the same time. They'll drop them, you know. They keep you guessing. You know, they don't make it very apparent. And you really have to go in and study, even from the graphs themselves. When you graph it out, sometimes you can't see that, but you have to go into the data and then look at the data and then go, oh yeah, look at this. Look at how all these levels right across the board, from beta to all the different gamma levels, all of a sudden drop. Or some of them will drop and some of them will go up. I mean, there's all sorts of crazy stuff going on with it.
Is that from the EPA graphs that you're looking at?
Yeah.
There on the EPA?
Yeah.
Now, you've been studying this quite a while. Do you understand the hierarchy of the EPA, or you've just been looking at the graphs?
I've tried to come to understand everything I can, you know. So
explain to me, who makes these decisions? Like, how does the chain of command go up? Like, where does it go to?
Doesn't go up. It's top down. So the top, which is basically industry, the corporations, industry that are with and involved in nuclear, General Electric, Westinghouse, the big players, plus the military contractors that are also involved with nuclear, that make the planes, that drop the bombs, that make the missiles, that fire the bombs, that make, you know, all that stuff. It's a huge, huge, that's the military-industrial complex that Eisenhower warned us about. That was it. That was the one. He wasn't talking about anybody else. That was the one there he was talking about.
Artificial intelligent AI, I mean, that whole, it's self-eating machine that is taking over, actually. They're moving full speed ahead with that plan, by the way.
Yeah.
You guys should listen to Jules's show, First Cup in the Morning. Like, honest to God, that he reports on is like, bang, my eyes pop open, man. Good thing it's only 1 hour a day. That is like hard, like the news, like just the stuff. And they're really actually really doing it. I mean, and they're not hiding it. It's out there, but nobody's reading about it except for Jules and a few, you know, I guess, you know, scientific types, but it's shocking. So how does the EPA, where does it come from? Okay. The corporations didn't start EPA. The corporations are the people that the EPA is regulating. That's not who runs the EPA.
Well, you know, there were you have Congress in the mix, and Congress is filled with, you know, the millionaires,
lobbyists,
and the billionaires.
30 lobbyists for every single congressperson.
And those guys are heavily invested in military hardware and in the nuclear industry, and they, you know, basically have produced laws that says the EPA is a lapdog to the Department of Energy and the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and the NSA. And so there's a whole hierarchy going up from EPA. EPA is basically low man on the totem pole. And they have a lot of these, a lot of levels over the top. NSA probably is over DOE, right? And I don't know how that hierarchy goes all the way up. I haven't really found that information, but it's a multi-layered thing.
I think they're sort of separate entities. The DOE is, you know, an agency of the administration. EPA, I think, was created by Congress, right? It's an agency, come out of the executive branch?
Yeah, it was, and probably when it first started, it was a bona fide system. Maybe, I don't know, but it certainly is not turned out that way. I mean, it has too many controls over the top of them right now for them to be doing anything realistic. You know, they try to
every
give it data
advocate.
Out. You
know? They need to change the name of it if they're going to keep it, because right now EPA is perfect for what they turned into, every polluter's advocate.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's what they do. They change names a lot too. I mean, the NRC has had the name changed to try to give it a new feeling of trust. You know. When they became so untrustworthy, so they tried to give them these new names and it's just a bunch of political finagling. It's meaningless when you give it a new name. You know, you need to give it the power. You need to cut the ties over the top of them. The EPA needs to have that done and be a standalone.
Well, we need to make lobbying 100% illegal in this country. And we need to make advertising to children 100% illegal. If we did those two things, America could actually find its heart again.
But they're pushing in the other direction real hard right now.
No kidding.
It's not a good thing, but you know, that's why we're here. That's why we're here to battle them and try to keep it.
Nixon started it, so it can't be something. It must have been a plant. Nixon started it.
Yeah.
So there's something that I would guarantee you. We look at the original language, and it was a takeover of tribal lands and allowing pollution. I wonder, this is really interesting. Okay, so look, after the Fukushima, after the December thing, when you said it's not that easy just to identify it, we have about 10 minutes left. Where are we now? Because I know Fukushima is constantly shaking over there. There's earthquakes all the time. That can't be good, right?
Yeah, and they've had various releases come on and off over there, undoubtedly. I mean, those cores, when they went down and they start fissioning, if they do go critical, you know, they'll start churning up all this stuff. And one of the things they produce is the iodine, right? Iodine is a bad thing. But the iodine actually will stop the reaction down there, the criticality, for a while. When it gets to a certain level, it's called an iodine pit. And it stops the criticality. And they have problems in nuclear reactors with this, where the fuel rods will build up a lot of iodine, and it will eventually shut the whole reactor down. And they have to sometimes shut them down and let this iodine half-life out before they can restart them again. So I think that's what's going on with these cores that are down there. You're getting a lot of iodine, and then the criticality stops or dies way off, then this iodine gas gets released. It comes up to the surface and it starts up again. So it's a matter of puffing is what's going
on.
And
along with the iodine, some other, you know.
And yeah, you got iodine, cesium.
How many radionuclides do you think come out of those? How many? Is it like hundreds, millions?
Thousands.
Wow.
I don't think it's billions. I think it's in the thousands.
We are continually being exposed to plumes of high levels of radioactivity on a regular basis. Now, it's not continuous, like you said. Some of it stays up high, but we do get plumes throughout the year from that.
We do. It's not continuous. It's on and off, on and off, on and off. We do get hit with some pretty high stuff.
Do you think it's worth watching? You think it matters for our health? I
Well, it
do.
depends on what
I
you can do
think
about it, you know.
well,
It depends on
we
what you're
can
going to
stay
do about it.
outdoors. You cannot let the rain get into your body when you're out in the rain. Like if it's very high levels of radioactivity, stay out of the rain, stay out of the water.
A lot of it'll come down in the rain, yep.
And really just don't be outside as much as possible during those, that week or two.
Yeah. I'm thinking a lot of it too from the damage I'm seeing out there on the plants, that a lot of it is coming in because we have probably this Krypton 85 has destroyed a lot of our ozone up there, and we're getting a lot more radiation, solar radiation and stuff coming in now. Then, that's bad, and it's taken out everything, and the plants are not looking very green anymore. We're seeing a lot of reds and yellow colors in them, stuff that we hadn't seen in the past, and just the shapes and the mutations that are going on that this year are just out of control. I was out just the other day looking around, and man.
What did you see? What did you see?
Well, I went over to the EPA to ask them some questions over there, to see how they were doing,
In
and
Corvallis, Oregon.
they didn't. Yeah, Corvallis. We have an EPA, a big EPA office right across from Oregon State, right across the street from their reactor over there,
Right,
from the
exactly.
radiation center.
I
So
protested
I,
there.
yeah, so I, so I went over there and I talked to the EPA, and they were concerned. They couldn't tell me anything, media blackout, but the girl there in the front was really concerned. You could tell she was worried about her job and everybody else's job. And so then I left, and I went over and I took some photos. I was looking for the RadNet monitoring station, and I couldn't really find it. It looked like it maybe was on the top of that reactor building. I couldn't quite figure it out. But I went around front and I started photographing, and something caught my eye out front. And I stopped and I looked, and there was right by the right out front of the radiation center, between the energy center that's there, the new energy center that went in, and the radiation center, right by the side of the road. There's a strip of grass there and some dandelions growing up, and I started looking, and I couldn't believe the number of mutated dandelions that were out in front there. I counted at least a half dozen of them.
Did
Which
you
is,
take pictures?
I did, yeah. Yeah, some
You
of them
should
are
send them to
really.
Radchik. She's compiling a whole list of them.
Yeah, I've put them on post 311 mutations on Facebook.
Oh, good, good, good.
That's
And that's right
my.
here. That was taken just that was the picture that you saw. I saw on your
Exactly.
Facebook. Yeah, I
Yes.
saw it looked so weird, like there was a bunch of heads coming out of one stem of a
Was.
dandelion.
That's what it was, yeah. And that was not the worst one. There was one where there was at least five or six heads coming out of the same stem. And I haven't really seen one of those before. And I saw that and I was like, well, if this is on the south side of the radiation center, the south side of that reactor, and in the wintertime, we typically have those winds blowing from the north down. So they would have had any sort of emissions that were coming off of that thing, they would have gotten that area right there, just past the building, tumbles. The wind will come over the top of that and then tumble down and hit the ground, and it's the perfect spot for.
If you ask them about it, they'll say it's an anomaly.
They'll say it's, oh, we spray herbicide there or something, But you know what? I went throughout the campus and looked all around, and that was the only spot I could find in campus that had this kind of stuff. So
Wow.
it's pretty much a smoking gun,
Wow. Do you think that we're affected? Do you know about ATI in Albany? Do you know that that's a fuse wrap site?
ATX.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, that's a super fun site. Yeah.
Do you know, I mean, do you know, is that related to any of the activity in Corvallis? Are they related in any way?
I would say if the wind's blowing in the right direction, it could very well be. Yeah. That's
Because
they're
this is the
sort of.
thing. I have been, I didn't ask you about other states because I know you focus on Oregon, but I am learning more and more. The uranium the uranium tailings, abandoned uranium mines, exposed, mishandled uranium in the nuclear process. It is a cat. It's in a catastrophic free fall, and they're completely ignoring it.
It is
It
horrible.
is, and the market is growing. That's like a stunning sense of denial. It's almost like fiddling while Rome is playing.
Well, the market's growing in the fact that I think the small scale nuclears are trying to get a foothold, and they are, unfortunately. The larger guys, unfortunately, are having problems. It looked like one of them just filed for bankruptcy. So
Well,
that's
Westinghouse just filed for bankruptcy.
They're one of the biggest, and that's good news for everybody. But the bad news is, of course, they're going to try to plant all these little tiny ones all over the place now, and they have no place to put the waste.
Well, it's not
So
even just
just
the
killing.
waste, it's the harm. Like, who gives them the right? This is the thing. I'm still stuck on this. When you said it, it really like struck home. Who gives them the right to decide how much radiation that we're entitled to and to not tell us? It's one thing to say, okay, we've accepted this as a culture. Like, we think it's worth the risk that people are going to get cancer, you're going to have birth defects. But we know that we need this for the future, and buck up, we're all going to take the risk. It's affecting all of us. But for them to not tell us that we're at risk, that's a separate issue, don't you think?
Well, it's hiding the truth from us, so we won't protest and shut them all down and go solar or wind. I mean, look at
Right.
China. Look at the solar panels they've produced in the last couple of years.
Right. And they do
Amazing.
use uranium. Solar does use uranium. And so it's not like it's an innocent thing. It just, they last longer and they're more efficient and they're not as toxic. Because the uranium is really the only trail, although we don't know because we haven't seen them put into wide scale use. We don't know the risk. Considering that uranium is made in the process, there has to be some radioactivity contamination available somewhere along that food chain
Oh yeah, there is.
at
And
risk
the
of cancer.
uranium is just the tip of it, because they really want to use plutonium. That's really their fuel of choice. It's not they're going to, They want to phase out uranium. They want to go pure plutonium, which is,
Do they have that technology?
Oh yeah, MOX, MOX fuel. MOX, mixed
I think that
oxide.
our government already, that was one of the things that the Congress looked at when they first wanted to put in MOX fuels. I think they said no to that. Don't they have to change the laws first? Well, that won't be
Oh, they
any
will.
problem.
Oh, they will.
Oh, they
They'll change
will.
that. They'll change that so quick it'll make your head spin. That was what Japan was fooling around with over there with Fukushima. That was they had some of that. That stuff gets hot. It gets really, really hot. And when you lose cooling in something that's really, really hot, then your stuff is going to happen way quicker. And that was, I think that's one of the major problems they had over there. Number
Wow.
three in particular, and probably number four too. But
We never hear about
so
five or six. Didn't five or six have serious catastrophic events there also?
they had problems,
I mean,
and
they're just
even
not in criticality, but they're horrible. They're not in good shape either.
they chopped holes in the sides of those to vent them. So there was something going on there. They're not. They
Right.
didn't. They didn't really tell us much about those, And the site to the south, Dinah. Even today, I looked on Net C. They're having continuing issues down there with
Yes.
radioactive emissions. More than
Yes.
Fukushima up north, just to the
Yes.
north.
I've heard
So.
tell that the reason that they didn't talk to us about Dyene is because it didn't have explosions. So they didn't have to tell anybody. Everybody was so focused on Fukushima. They're like, great, let's just talk about Fukushima. But Dyene
They
is
can make.
actually just as seriously contaminated. Actually, Dana Durnford has a theory that all of the power plants all along that East Coast, many of them suffered very catastrophic. If you look at all of them together, for many, that shut them all down and opened back up.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of them had severe issues.
I'm
It's interesting how when you start,
Westinghouse bankruptcy.
interesting while you're talking about this, they're interrupting our signal. I can barely understand you.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you do live in Corvallis, you know, Corvallis, I don't know about you, but Corvallis does like a soup, like kind of like very soft. Like as soon as I get Corvallis, I sit on the street, the black police car for circling me, taking photographs. It's like the unmarked black car, you know. I mean, maybe that's what you and I should do is organize a protest and stand out in front of the EPA and hold my sciences when scientists lie, people die. Because that is what's happening. They're not about their jobs. I think there's 15,000 EPA jobs, and they really do want to, like, do away with it.
Yeah, they will grenade it and then, you know, let the industry take care of it. You know, which they won't.
Well, I think what they'll do is they're not going to totally dismantle it. They'll just, you know, get rid of anybody who's conscientious and, you know, people who've been working there for a long time, put in the, you know, their capital cronies, their cronies and their friends, give their rich friends kids jobs and have them be the staff and, you know, start pressuring Congress to let them do whatever it is they want.
Yeah.
So we're in a critical phase in this country. I don't think people quite understand the threat. And this is not new. This thing that Trump is imposing failed in Chile. This is why South America is in a catastrophic financial freefall, because this whole neoliberal agenda went down there and was enforced with the military. And the same thing, that's, you know, they're propping up our military and our police. They want strict law enforcement, and they want to impose their neoliberal ideas of, you know, too bad. And they don't mind poverty. That's the big thing about the neoliberals. They see it as a function of society.
Yeah.
So
it's interesting how Russia went through that too, you know, during the 90s when Yeltsin got in there and ushered in all of the corporate folks. And Russia went from, you know, being supposedly so far left to now they are really far right. And that is who Trump is playing with. He's playing with the Russians, because that model of the takeover is what he wants to do here in the U.S.
That's right. Just like when Bush went to China, he put his – I swear to God, when Bush went to China, you could see he was looking at it going, this is how democracy should work. We'll let people have money, but the government tells everybody what to do.
Yep.
It's amazing. Well, we have about a minute left, Matt. Thank you for joining us. I hope that you'll come back, because the information and the follow-up – I love your ideas and the knowledge that you have about the EPA and about these the radiation levels. I really appreciate your time here.
You're welcome. Glad to talk to you guys.
Yeah, it's really good. And I encourage everybody, take a look at the EPA website. Get familiar with it. While we have it, go take a look at the EPA. Just put in RadNet, and it'll bring you right to it, and you can look in your own area and see at least what they're telling you, where you're at, what levels are. And if it's very high, it looks spiked, stay indoors until it comes back down. That really will help you in the future. So take action. Let's put pressure on our elected officials to, you know, change the laws, change the rules, so that they don't keep all this stuff secret from us. We have a right to know. Put your courage feet on. Take action, you guys. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you Monday.
listening to UCY.TV. Why don't you stick around?